Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg, your host, and today I'm joined by Adam Barrett. We're starting a series of discussions, Adam and I, to help you understand the concept of reliability improvement, not so much in mastering the tools or the techniques and so on, which is still important. It's also, though, looking at how do we work with the people in our organization and in our who we need to work with and through to make improvements. Now, before I get too far ahead of myself, let me bring on Adam and say, you know, welcome and glad to have you on the show.
Hi, Fred. Thanks so much for having me. And I love doing these series with you because they're such great extensions of the conversations you and I have. And it's really fun to share this with other people and even get their feedback and get to continue the conversations with them.
Yes, yeah, good point. And that's what we're looking for in any of these shows is if we spark an idea or a comment or a question, just let us know and we'll be glad to address those. Now, Adam, one of the things that I think we've both have heard and to some extent experienced as we've worked in different reliability roles and packages is something I would suspect that our listeners is seeing or experiencing. And let me, you know, as a listener, as you have either just been tapped into being a reliability engineer or you're moving into more serious role as a reliability professional, you're going to run into a series of obstacles and hurdles beyond just learning how to do a Weibull analysis plot, for example. So, Adam, what would you say would be one of the biggest challenges that somebody new to reliability engineering is going to face as they try to build a program?
I think one of the biggest challenges that I've seen in a lot of my work in organizations is the shared ownership of reliability across the culture. And this is part of the metamorphosis that's happening with reliability, especially in North American industry. Historically, reliability was very much a part of the analytical, you know, sections of the group. It was isolated where numbers went into the group and then numbers came back out. And that has changed dramatically, and to stay competitive, it has changed dramatically. And those changes are getting rid of the isolation. Reliability knowledge and functionality is a tool that's in everybody's toolbox, not just even technical people, but business people as well. And when I say toolbox, I don't mean computational or calculated, but having those considerations as part of their decision. And what that reflects is you can't compete today without reliability as part of your market strategy. It's expected. It's not something that you can really even, you know, tout as one of the specialties of your product. It basically has to be there, and if it's not, you're dismissed. And you know, we've all experienced that not only as technical people in our industry, but as consumers.
Yeah, that I mean, it's very true, Adam. It's that the level of expectation about reliability continues to grow, and I suspect that's going to be a whole nother show for us to discuss. I want to go back one of the phrases you used, and let's take it apart a little bit, is the shared ownership of reliability across the organization. Now, doesn't the CEO or the person in charge, don't they own reliability? Isn't it their job?
It keeps them up at night. It's if you ask them, it's one of the things that they say they worry about. Mm-hmm. You know, when they're late, you know, when they're home, working at home, and you know, doing their strategy and navigation for the company.
Well, they probably don't want to see a news camera showing up on their doorstep for a lawsuit or a recall or a summons to go to Congress. Those are probably all bad things.
that one moment undoes all their work. I mean, look at Toyota, right? They've always been known for the absolute best reliability.
Right.
One slip up, which they recently had, they're tainted now, right? It left an opening for other people to, show.
To claim that spot, yeah, to move forward right. with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So if the CEO doesn't own it, or maybe they do and they keep them up at night, but you're saying a shared ownership. I've often heard that if, we all have to do quality and or everyone does quality, and yet if you look at the employee roster, there's usually not a Mr. or Mrs. Everyone. So how does that work if it's shared?
So what's fascinating is the break in the chain of ownership. And I've seen it, and it's so consistent right now across so many different industries and cultures. And what I'm talking about, the break in chain of ownership, is we have the guy at the top who worries about this.
Mm-hmm.
We have the engineers who, in a lot of cases, the design engineer, electrical engineer, they also worry about it because they don't want to design. Their designs are very personal to them. It's their baby.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to put your design out there and it has good functionality but bad reliability. You also don't want to be the person who gets that label. So what happens? How come if the person at the top and the person at the bottom wants this, why doesn't it get reflected of, equal proportion in the field? So the break in the chain I see, and again, everything I'm saying is in no way implying fault to anybody or, that they aren't doing their due diligence or care.
Mm-hmm.
People's actions reflect what's put on them. And the break I see in the chain very often is in program management or project management. And as I've said before, even if you took the reliability engineer and put them in that role, they would abandon reliability as being a key component of what steers what they do, just so they can survive. And the true root cause is really interesting to see. And the root cause goes one level above them. And the simplest way to describe it is they are given a set of metrics that don't reflect the correct proportion of weight to reliability. And what happens is, since they drive the program and effectively are the day-to-day voice of the executives within the program, that disproportion of minimizing reliability gets passed down and everybody ends up handcuffed. And it's interesting to see. And effectively becomes this machine that drives itself and nobody can stop it. And you end up putting out projects that, products that everybody knows are at risk.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about, Adam. And one of the things to look for as the listener to this, you may have recognized some of this already in your own organization, is where the procurement organization is measured due to cost reduction only. That's their number one metric, is cost reduction. Or the program manager, that's measured on time to market. That's the dominant factor in making decisions. And so, Adam, what you're saying is that there's a lot of priorities. You can't do everything. Everything can't be the top priority. And reliability is in the mix. It doesn't have to be the top priority, yet it needs to be part of the discussion. But if it's not time to market, and that's what people are getting measured on, I think what you're alluding to is that if my bonus is measured by the time to market, hitting the date and shipping the product, the other priorities start to fall off. And reliability may still be part of some level of the discussion, yet it may only influence a decision in a very small way. Is that a way to fairly summarize what you're after?
Yeah, it's about a balance. And you can always create those diagrams that show balance between cost, time to market, functionality. But let's take one that has 4 points. Let's say for a program, if you're going to measure it at its most broad resolution, you are attempting to balance the resources between time to market, functionalities, functions you want in the product, cost margin, and reliability. Let's say those are the four components that you feel is going to have your greatest market influence.
Okay.
So whatever the percentage out of 100 each one of those carries, what's critical is that those percentages are decided intelligently based on information and strategy, and that they are, this is the part where the miss happens, are consistent throughout the entire organization. Effectively, if you could stop anybody in the hallway and they could tell you, yeah, it's 20, 30, you know, 25, 25 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Anybody at any level, right down to the guy in the machine shop, could tell you that. If you've done that, you won't, you know, you'll make sure to be doing what you intend on doing. That's where the pain is. The pain is when you realize you're doing something that doesn't align with what you know you want to do or should be doing. And that goes for anybody. So the question is, and the real analysis, and I think where to dissect and to talk about is, how do you end up with, you know, that not being consistent top to bottom?
Well, that may well end up being a number of different shows, because I know from my own experience, there's many different elements in that. What we can do as reliability professionals to influence that. So the concept, I think, is a pretty good introduction for our conversations, Adams. And the idea is that as you work within an organization, as you come up to speed as a reliability engineer and you start developing a program, you don't own it. It's not only your job. I think that's another episode, Adam, where we can talk about the reliability professional that does everything and has limited success to some extent. But what we're looking at is this: where does reliability engineering fit between that strategy at the top level and what everybody has to do on a day-to-day basis to make decisions? And so that's what you mean by the shared ownership, is people at all levels understand how reliability fits into making decisions.
Yeah, I think the best way to describe it is the reliability engineer, reliability team is the informed advisor to everybody else. And I think that's probably the best way to describe it. And the way the informed advisor can help is it's working correctly, is if everybody knows that, you know, relation to their job, how important reliability is on, let's say, that 4-point, diagram, and they are coming and asking the reliability team engineer for counsel on that part of their goal. If the reliability team or engineer is pushing that information into the organization, it doesn't work and the system isn't working.
Well, let's just plan on the next show. We'll leave a little teaser here, is to say, well, what are some of the ways we can, as the reliability engineer, what do we need to do to enable this kind of ownership? And I don't know, do you think that might be useful as a next step?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's wrap this one up and thank our folks that are listening, and ask again if you have any comments or questions, please let us know. A review on iTunes would be appreciated as we get this program started. But more importantly, we just want to hear what you think, and so we can guide the overall discussions in that direction. This idea of ownership of reliability is fairly broad in my mind, and Adam has brought together this idea is one way to tell where it is the consistency of priorities across the organization. So if you ask everybody in the organization, or anybody in the organization, what's the rank order or what's the influence of function, time to market, cost, and reliability on your design decisions or on your decisions, what you're looking for is consistency. So it may be a communication thing. It may be what information is being provided. It may be how do you quantify and value the different elements of this thing. We'll start talking about that in the next episode. So, Adam, thanks for the chat today. I'm going to go grab another little bit of coffee and enjoy the rest of my Monday. Hopefully you do too, but we'll be back with you shortly, and we can continue the discussion.
Well, that's great. It was really good to talk about it and talk with you, Fred.
Great. Talk to you soon, Adam. Take care. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.